Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Back to the whole issue that came up yesterday on the programme, kind of out of the blue, and it is about the Civil War, but on the day, the 15th of June, the day that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, arch enemies, what did Dermot Farrell, the eminent historian, say this morning to Sarah about them? The two parties grew up on the back of loathing each other, and now there's the prospect of them loving each other, but there isn't, as Dermot said. But that's where they came from. And then we got talking about Michael Collins, who was killed, murdered, whatever, in the, he was 31 years of age, believe it or not, and leader of the Free State Forces, and he was killed in a gun battle with the anti-treaty forces in the middle of the Civil War. And then another row broke out about that. So maybe Civil War isn't dead. Maurice Walsh. Maurice, good afternoon. Maurice Walsh.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're in Waterford. What do you think of this historic deal between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
I'm not happy at all with it, Joe. I think it's the ultimate betrayal to the grassroots Fianna Fáil. It's something, when it first came on the online, I was hoping it would never happen. I was saying it wouldn't happen, but now that it has, I think it's going to be the end of the party that I loved so much down the years that I grew up with, and I think it's a shame. Just for Micheál Martin, for his yes to be a part-time Taoiseach.
And you're a member of Fianna Fáil?
I am, yeah.
For how long?
40 years, Joe.
Oh, good man. Anyway. So who would you go back to? Charlie? Jack Lynch?
Well, at the
Alberts.
Jordan Jack Lynch's time, yes.
Yeah, okay. And are you going to leave the party?
Well, I seriously considering it, Joe, if this goes through, because I think that, and I would hope, though, that when each Fianna Fáil member gets that ballot paper, that they will vote with their heart.
And you're going to vote against it, obviously.
I am going to vote against it totally. I'm totally opposed to it, Joe.
And why? Is it because of Fine Gael?
It's because of Fine Gael. And also, I think that it will, ultimately, it will be the end of Fianna Fáil as we knew it.
Well, that's what Eamon, funnily enough, Eamon de Valera's grandson, the TD, Eamon O'Keefe TD, said today that he's going to vote against the deal, though he will vote for Micheál Martin for Taoiseach, but if the deal is accepted. He's going to vote against the deal, but he says there's going to be two big parties in the future in Ireland, and one of them will not be Fianna Fáil.
And he's so correct, Joe. He's so correct in what he says. And I think Eamon is one of the true Fianna Fáil people. And I think he was from, with himself and John McGuinness, I think they were against this from day one, like, you know.
And Maurice, when you were growing up, now you're still young, but when you were growing up, was there much talk of the Civil War and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the difference?
There was, Joe. It was the Civil War that brought me into Fianna Fáil in the first place.
Why?
Because as you just said, when I was young, when we were growing up, we had this great rivalry between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
Okay.
And it stemmed from the Civil War, as you know.
Yeah.
And I think that if that comes to an end, I think there's part of our history just going to be cut off that future generations may not even know about.
So you want the two parties to stay separate because... You want the two parties to stay separate because it's almost a memorial to the Civil War.
It's partly a memorial, but there's also the rivalry down through the years between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael.
But what was the difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
Well, I think there is a big difference. Some people will say that there is no difference, Joe, but I think there is a big difference.
And what is the difference?
Well, I think the stemming out of when you come out from the Civil War, Eamon de Valera said in 1927, every true Republican should stand up and come out and vote against W.T. Cosgrave's government.
Yeah.
And now today we have a leader that's mad to get into bed with Fine Gael.
But my point still is, what is the difference between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, apart from the fact that 100 years ago they fell out over a treaty? Éamon de Valera and Michael Collins essentially fell out over a treaty that Éamon de Valera was president of the Republic, or wasn't a Republic then, president of the government. He delegated Michael Collins to go to London and negotiate a treaty. Michael Collins negotiated a treaty, came back, Dev said, you've betrayed us, and there was a vote which Michael Collins won. They became the Free State government, and then the Civil War started and went down for 10 months. And as we heard... Was there much activity? There was. Where are you in the Cumarras?
Yeah, the foot of the Cumarras, Joe. And if you go back to Stone Garvin, their little village called Kilrassanty, an ultimate out and out dyed in the wool Fianna Fáil people. And that's what I want to keep that as it is. But if we go into government with Fine Gael, yeah, I think that will be the end of the party that I know and love. And I would seriously think, as you said, I will wash my hands of Fianna Fáil, I think, if that happens.
Now, I can't, my geography's all wrong, but the only big event I remember down around Cumara, or down the South Kilkenny tip and Waterford, is that Liam Lynch, who was the head of the IRA, so to speak, on the anti-treaty side. He was killed down there, wasn't he?
He was, yes. There's a monument up there to him.
Okay. And was the Civil War big in the Cumarras?
It was. We grew up, and my grandmother telling me stories about the Black and Tans and the Free Staters and things they done. And in her view, she would say that the Free Staters were equally as bad, if not worse, than the Black and Tans.
Former comrades, yes, turned on each other. Stay with us, Morris. Paddy Fuller. Paddy, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
You're in County Kerry, in Kilflynn, in County Kerry.
Kilflynn, County Kerry, yes.
And yesterday it was mentioned again in the discussion about Michael Collins and the Civil War. Ballyseedy came up.
Yes.
And your connection is that your father...
My father was the only survivor out of it.
Wow.
Stephen Ford.
So you are a direct link to that atrocity in that sense?
Yes.
That's incredible. So, mate, the Civil War isn't that long ago, so... And how did he... I thought everyone was killed.
No, my father survived it. There was two alive. There was another man alive as well.
And how did your father survive? Because it was, they were tied up. They were taken out of Tralee, wasn't it?
Yes.
Taken out of the barracks by the...
Ballymullen barracks in Tralee.
Okay, and they were taken out to Ballyseedy Crossroads.
And Ballyseedy Crossroads, they were all tied together. And blown to pieces.
But they were tied together by a rope, weren't they?
Yes. Legs and hands behind their backs.
And the Free State Army, the army of the government of the time...
Correct.
They detonated what, a mine or a bomb?
A mine that blew them all to pieces.
Wow.
Except my father survived. He was blown clear.
He was blown up, but blown away in that sense.
Yes,
he was,
correct.
And how come the fellas who set off the bomb, the soldiers who set off the bomb, how come they didn't then shoot him if they wanted to kill everybody?
They tried to find him, but they couldn't find him.
Of course, it was dark. It was in the middle.
They couldn't
of the night.
Find him. If they had found him, they would have shot him.
And Stephen.
But they didn't miss him for about 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
They didn't. They had the coffins, but they were shot to the body.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So they missed him, and then they went into the rampage looking for him.
And did your dad talk about Ballyseedy?
Very, very little.
Wow.
Spoke very little about it. And I've been asked that question, why so?
Yeah.
I would think he did say at one particular time to me that it hurt too much.
It hurt too much, yeah. And your father became a Fianna Fáil TD?
He did, yes. He was a TD for 8 years.
And did he ever talk about Civil War politics? You know what we're talking about from yesterday, Paddy?
Very, very rarely. Would would discuss it probably very privately would be the word. He never discussed it because he did not want the civil war carried on.
Okay.
He said, his own quoting, his own words, he said, I prefer the civil war to go down with us.
And the phrase "Remember Ballyseedy,"
yes,
was that used off Fianna Fáil election platform, so to speak, up to the 80s and 90s?
It was because they had it a few times.
Wow,
it was used. Yes,
that's incredible. Such a what? Was there 8 men killed?
8 men killed. Yes.
And what do you think of? I don't know what your politics are.
I'm Fianna Fáil.
Fianna Fáil, okay. What do you think of yesterday?
I don't know. I haven't read the document as yet.
Yeah.
And I will have a look at it and I will read it.
Yeah.
But one of the comments made, like, is, you know, I had just a start a part of the program there, the other previous gentleman saying, you know, you can't talk about the Civil War forever, can you?
No.
Look, it's time to move on. It's time to form a government. It's time to, in bad times here with the COVID and everything, where things are going, I think it's time to form a government and move on.
And Paddy, you will have a vote.
Of course, yes.
And a postal vote in the Fianna Fáil. And have you decided yet what way you'll
vote? I haven't, but I will have a look at the document.
Okay, good man.
Now, I will have a look at the document, I will see what it's like, and I haven't made up my mind, but I will read the document and then I will vote on it.
And would you put much store by Eamon O'Keefe, who's, as you know, Dev's grandson, the TD? He said he's going to vote against the document.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. What side of the party would you be
on? I would think that maybe Damon O'Keefe is trying to have it both ways here. He's trying to vote for Micheál Martin. He's trying to not vote for the agreement. I don't believe you can have it both ways.
Okay. So you'll be a Micheál Martin supporter?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I didn't say that. No.
Who's your local TD down there?
My local TD is Norma Foley.
Oh, yeah, okay. She's from a
daughter of Dinas Foley that's after being elected in the last government.
A great Fianna Fáil dynasty, isn't it, the Foley's?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. And Paddy, would you have stood for election yourself?
I stood for the county council.
How'd you get on?
I never got elected. I was on 2 occasions.
Was there any Healy Rays on the ballot paper?
Jackie was on it.
You had no hope. You had no hope, Paddy.
Tannerman deal, he said, any fellow that he's dinner in the middle of the day.
That's right. Okay, Paddy, so what side of Fianna Fáil are you on? Who do you admire in Fianna Fáil? Obviously, you love the party. It's in your DNA.
I've been in the party for years.
Yeah.
For 70 years, Dylan.
Did you meet Charlie Haughey and Bertie Ahern?
I knew him well.
Did you? What was he like?
I was fond of Charlie.
Oh, yeah. Who shot Michael Collins?
Shot Michael Collins? They didn't like to know the answer, so that's what I told you. Take care and thank you for the call.
Paddy, you're brilliant. You're a brilliant man. That's Paddy Fuller in Kilf. By the way, Paddy, what age was your dad when he died?
84.
And
it's easy to remember it. It was 1984 and he was 84 years of age.
And did he still have the shrapnel and all that in him?
Yes, that went through the grave with him.
Incredible. Paddy, long life to you, Paddy. Stay well. That's Paddy Fuller. Morris Walsh is still there, and I've 12 more breaks after this. 5-1-5-1, one more shot.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And as you heard yesterday, the mention of Michael Collins and the Civil War and his killing ignited more discussion and disagreement. Meadagh Ryan is a historian, author of The Day Michael Collins Was Shot. It's one of, I think there's about 10 books about The Day Michael Collins Was Shot, but Meadagh is regarded as up there in terms of research. Meadagh, who shot Michael Collins?
Will I give you the short answer or the long one?
No, the short answer to start. Yeah.
The short answer is Sonny O'Neill.
Sonny O'Neill, and he was an anti-treaty Republican.
That's right, yes.
Okay. Did he deliberately set out to shoot Michael Connell?
No. Well, what happened was there was an ambush. Michael Collins, will I tell you how it...
Yeah, we go. Do the long version now, yeah.
Okay. There was an ambush. Michael Collins had passed through in the morning, mm-hmm. and he was recognised. And there were a group of what they called Republicans. They were the anti-treatyites. They had assembled in Cork from Munster, and they were going to decide on future strategy.
All right.
And they were to have a meeting in Murray's that morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when the convoy, Michael Collins's convoy, passed through, he was on... what he was doing was reviewing his forces in the southern region. He had already gone to Tralee, and he had to return because of Arthur Griffith's funeral. He had intended to go from Kerry on to Cork.
Mm-hmm.
But he, after the Arthur Griffith's funeral, he returned, and he was on a tour of Cork. And he visited various mm-hmm. places that day and so on, and in West Cork, Clonakilty, Skibbereen, and word, naturally enough, in those days they had scouts out, different people, mm-hmm. women and so on, brought back word to the men that were out at, in Balen na Blaa that had assembled at Murray's for this meeting.
Okay.
But they called off the meeting. They decided, because the convoy had passed through, that he would be coming back again that way. And they knew that this was the only route that he could go back to Cork. And they had known where he was in Cork and so on, that he wasn't staying in the Imperial Hotel. And they had knocked down all the bridges, had been blocked, so there was no other route back to Cork. And they knew that this was the road they were going to travel.
So they knew Michael Collins was in the convoy.
And they knew Michael Collins was in the convoy.
So in that sense, it was deliberate.
Well, it was an enemy, as far as they were concerned. They were enemies coming into their territory.
Okay.
So they regarded them as enemies. So that's how, you know, one side was as good as another in their eyes.
And did Sonny O'Neill know he shot Michael Collins?
Afterwards, yes.
But did he when he was aiming at Mike, when he was aiming, did he pick out Michael Collins?
No.
No.
What happened was in the evening, the ambush was called off later on in the day. They were waiting all day for them to return, and they didn't they hadn't returned. It was getting misty, night was falling, so they decided, Liam Deasy and Tom Hales, they decided to call off the ambush.
Mm-hmm.
And they were returning what they called the billets. They were returning to various houses, and they were going for a meal because it was all their territory as far as they were concerned, and they were going back for different places, and they left a small group to tidy up. And when they were tidying up, they had already, in that day, they had set a mine on the road, and they had a wire going across that would blow up. It was very well, it was a very good site. It was I called it a boreen. They had this like a horseshoe. It was right overlooking the road, and they had a very good sight of the road.
Okay.
So they had it all set up all day, but then that was all called off, and they all were, they had left the site, and they left a small group behind. They had the wire, the mine was across the road at the entrance. They had a point that they would know when it was, and they would trigger it off, and that would blow up. And at the other side, they had a cart there, so that they would be trapped inside that area.
And Michael Collins died from a single gunshot wound to the head.
The ambush happened then, but they heard when they were coming on the site. Emmett Dalton said, drive like hell, when Michael Collins said stop and we'll fire. So they stopped and they started.
Now, one of our listeners yesterday said it was Emmett Dalton, Collins's right-hand man in many ways, and in the car with him, that it was Emmett Dalton that shot Michael Collins.
Well, I spoke to Emmett Dalton.
Well,
I'm the only person.
Well done.
I'm one of the few people. He refused to give interviews, and he told me that he wouldn't give in any interviews. Actually, he wrote a letter to me. He told me I was the most persistent person.
Well, what did he say? What did he say?
He said, you're the most persistent.
I know, but what did he say about Michael Collins?
Oh, what did he say about me? He said he told me what happened.
Right.
And he told me how it happened. Oh. And he hadn't realised that they were in the wrong, you know, he was in the wrong area returning, that they had gone to Cluedo,
okay.
Not Crookston.
Well,
anyway, tears rolled down his face when he was talking about him.
Okay. And but, is there any suspicion that he shot Michael Collins?
None whatsoever, because
that?
I went through the whole, I took each scenario. Now, I spoke to the men. I brought back men. I spent about 9 years working on it. I brought back men who had fought on both sides and where they had... where they were.
Oh,
that
yeah,
day.
Brilliant. Well
and
done.
I even brought them back... And they met each other, and sometimes they would be contradictory, and I would have to,
okay.
You know, make sure that it was correct. And I spoke to the driver of the armoured car. He was Jim Wolfe.
Yeah, you're great. Now, Meada, I'm reading something here compiled by another great historian, Ryle Dwyer, in The Examiner in June 2008. He went through all the books. Owen Neeson wrote a book, and he said in his book, The Life and Death of Michael Collins, he raised the theory that it was a ricochet accidentally discharged by John McPeak, one of the Free State soldiers.
John McPeak.
Okay, yeah, is that a yes or no, Meada?
No,
okay. In John M. Fien's book, he's famous for, he founded the Mercier Press, he also suggests that Michael Collins may have been murdered by one of his own colleagues acting on behalf of members of the Provisional Government or the British Secret Service. Now, that was the theory because Eamon Dalton, like so many Republicans, had served in the First World War or whatever in the British Army. What do you think? Was he shot by one of his own?
No, he wasn't.
Okay. Patrick Day Tuig, a priest in his 1991 book, The Dark Secret of Béal na Bláth, he contends that Collins was killed by one of the Republicans.
Yeah, I know what he said. He said that there was a group coming across. They were coming back from Kerry, and that they shot him. No, I spoke to them as well, and it was Bob's Doherty, and they didn't. They didn't fire any shots. They were coming back.
Okay, so in that book it says we saw a Free State soldier on the road, and we fired at Doherty. Bob Doherty fired a shot at him. We saw the big man fall. O'Donoghue recalled, and he promptly slapped Doherty's gun down. What did you do that for? Did you want to draw them on us? That's not your evidence.
Sorry, this is Father
Tuig,
is it?
Yes, Father Tuig is saying that Doherty shot him.
No.
No, okay. In the 2010 book, The Assassination of Michael Collins, SM, how many books are there, Meada?
I don't know. There are
several. I'm through 10 of them at this stage. The Assassination of Michael Collins, JFK. Sigerson attached considerable significance to the fact that Collins was in Cork in the hope of negotiating a peace settlement with the Republicans.
Right, that was said as well. No, that's not true either. And
okay.
Yeah,
okay. Gerard Murphy, the book is called The Great Cover-Up.
That's right.
He cast doubt on Flory O'Donoghue's motives. Murphy contends O'Donoghue was seeking to implement the decision on the Irish Republican Brotherhood of Munster to execute Collins for treason.
Well,
was it Flory O'Donoghue?
Flory.
Okay, Flory, you're acquitted. Next, where am I now? There's another biography... Oliver St. John Gogarty, who embalmed the body of Michael Collins. And as you know, his death mask is in Collins' barracks up in Benburb Street, probably the greatest museum Ireland has. And unfortunately, it's been closed since March the 14th, which is terrible, terrible. And hopefully they'll get it open soon because there's loads of space. But anyway, Oliver St. John Gogarty, he embalmed the body of Michael Collins. He said there was a small entry wound on the hairline behind the left ear.
That's right.
And the dum-dum bullet then blew out the back right-hand side of his head, a bit like where JFK was hit.
Mm-hmm. That's so, right, it was a dum-dum bullet.
Why are there so many books, Mita?
I don't know. I suppose everybody is fascinated and there are a lot of conspiracy theories and nobody, sometimes they don't believe in that.
Tom Hoolan, stay there, Mita. Tom Hoolan, you've read one of Mita's books.
I did, yes, Joan. I stand corrected, but she said in one of her books that out of 77 men executed by two or three forces in the Civil War, that there were 79 men. There was two more men in Kerry that was not counted for. I just think, have Fianna Fáil the right to forgive Fine Gael for the execution of 79 men? I think this is an appalling coalition. Yeah. Sinn Féin are the winners here in this. Fianna Fáil is going to fall apart.
Do you think so? Are you a Fianna Fáil?
I am not sure. No, but I was with Sinn Féin for many, many years. I moved away about 10 years ago, but I would always vote for them.
And just give people the background to those executions, because it is, they are, like many crimes, they are unforgivable. The government of the day
took out 79 men and executed them. They took seven from Galway Gold and brought them to Tuam and executed those men in Tuam. There was no trial in any of those executions.
I know that. And those 70, but the thing is, they were executed by the state. And
yes,
they were executed because they were members of the anti-treaty forces, and they were executed in retaliation for their comrades outside shooting people as well. But they were they were almost picked at random, weren't they?
They were given 24 hours notice, most of them, or even less.
Good God.
And they were taken out. Now, can I just come in there and say one thing, Joe? Yeah. Before my father died, as you know, my father was an RTN. When he came out and went back to a tie in Kildare, he asked his half-sister Rosie, "Where's my half-brother?" She said to him, "I had to go to Cork." She said he was on the back of a truck, shot through the head. He was executed. Now, I don't know, did he keep his mother's name? My grandmother was O'Neill.
Okay.
But he was executed in Cork.
Okay.
And I asked my
you're saying it's too soon to forget, for example, the execution
after
of those men 100 years ago.
It is, I would never forgive. I mean, it's no reflection today on members of Fine Gael. Don't get me wrong. But there were 79 executions without a trial.
God, they were desperate times, weren't
they? They were appalling. It infuriates me.
Times. Okay, Mita, I'll come back to Mita after this break. 51551, John.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe at RT.ie. Mita Ryan, those executions, Tom Hoolan said it's too soon to forget those atrocities, where the government was led by Richard Mulcahy, wasn't he? He was head of the Defence Forces.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, what do you...
that was awful. It was awful. I mean, the whole Civil War was a terrible time, wasn't it? Dreadful time, and they none of them liked it, and I know that there was a lot of bitterness because when I decided to write this book, it was only by chance that I was in the early stages when I was talking. Sorry.
No, far away. Keep.
Yeah, it was when I was talking to somebody, and they said that they knew somebody else was Jim Carney. Jim Carney, it happened to be, that he knew all the story of Michael Collins. But it took a long, long time.
And did you talk to Sonny O'Neill, the man who shot Michael Collins?
No, he was dead at the time. He died in the 1950s.
Did you see Neil Jordan's great film, Michael Collins?
I did, yes.
Well, was Dave down there?
No.
Okay.
Dave was in the area for the meeting initially, but he went back.
Well, did Dave have any hand acting part?
No, absolutely none. None whatsoever.
Apart from the fact that he was leader of the anti-treaty forces.
But it was Liam Lynch actually was the
commander. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Who's John Corrigan? Another connection, John.
Sorry.
John Corrigan. John, come in to me there, John.
Yeah. No, it's just I'm over 60 now at the moment, and all through my life, we had the story, and I found out it to be true. My grandmother was the matron, and the hospice for the dying was an old army hospital in Harold's Cross,
right,
where Michael Collins was washed and laid out to rest for his state funeral.
Wow.
And she actually washed him and laid him out.
My God.
And to this day, she's supposed to have a bit of shrapnel from the back of his head. From, oh, it was God. Actually the back of his head.
And where is that?
My father's gone a bit doolally now, and we don't know, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
We're all through our lives, and I found it out to be true, you know, and I just thought it was a fabulous connection.
And did your granny ever talk about him
laying
out?
She always spoke to us as children about it, yeah. She was quite proud of it, you know, of being able to be in such a presence, like, you know, even though has passed away.
He was such a hero, wasn't he, to so many people?
And I suppose in the older people's lives, he was.
Yeah.
You know, and even looking back through history, I believe so too, but don't ever.
Okay.
Incredible
connections. Meadha Ryan's book is called The Day Michael Collins Was Shot. Thanks, Meadha. I didn't get to Tom Hoolan as well, and I didn't get to some other people. Today's BCO's Maeve Mooney, Mark Dwyer on sound, research by Richard Byrne. Angus McInerney produces. Is this your last day producing, Angus? He's retiring on Friday. Is this your last day producing? No, it's not. Oh, God. He'd be producing on Friday as well. And Ray Darcy is next.